Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Amin, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Sophie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, it's really nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us what you've been up to.
It depends how I should answer that question. I've been raising three little kids, the oldest of whom is 8 and the littlest of whom is turning 3 in a couple months. And I wrote my first novel, which I'm really excited about and is coming out in August, on August 6th. So I've been doing that, and I've been, you know, writing for various publications along the way because I've been a journalist for a long time. So I'm sort of, you know, juggling all those things.
Yeah. So your novel is probably, like, I think you may be able to relate with, it plays well with others, but you may be related to being a mother trying to wrangle kids. And in this case, it's about kindergarten, you know, applications. Talk to us about the elevator pitch of your novel, and then we'll chat a little bit more about it.
Sure. Plays Well with Others is a book about a woman who loses her mind applying her kid to kindergarten in New York City. It, you know, there are similarities between me and the main character, but it is in no way, you know, biographical. I really wanted to write a book that captured kind of the crazy and intense feeling of having young children, and, like, particularly the first few years that are driven by adrenaline and hormones and anxiety and so much love and a lot of joy and a lot of uncertainty and confusion and lots of information coming in at you, and you're, you know, kind of a baby yourself. I'm trying to figure all of this stuff out, and you've never done it before, at least for your first kid. And then with your second kid, it's a whole new thing, because then it's two kids. So it's like you kind of keep reinventing the wheel. And I wanted to find a way into that story in a way that was humorous. I had tried a few different ways. One of them was, like, sort of more serious, and I realized I'm much more kind of comedic writer naturally. And I thought it would be funny to kind of make a satire out of this very, you know, upper crust problem that very few people have and engage with in New York City. I thought that would be sort of entertaining from a voyeuristic perspective. But more to the point, it was sort of just a way into talking about the, you know, chaos of being a parent. And so this, you know, lens allowed me to explore it in a way that I felt was very true to that feeling. And, you know, it's not written completely through. There's many different parts to it. There's WhatsApp chains, there's emails, there's newspaper clippings. And I sort of wanted to capture that overloaded feeling that all of us feel, parents or not, getting bombarded with information and requests and just, you know, having a rich and full and slightly crazy life.
Yeah, you tap into this idea of rich people behaving badly, and yet at the same time with the stakes of childhood admissions and the idea of, and this is going to make or break the kid's future, which in reality is, like, really... But we're trying to, like, plan. It's like the control factor of planning a kid's future. And, like, the thing you cannot control is raising a child, because a child has their own personality and their own will and their own way of doing. And it's like, it's a battle of the wills.
I think in a lot of ways, like, that's the biggest lesson of becoming a parent, is sort of relaxing into this idea that you can't control the outcome. And, you know, my first book, Baby Unplugged, was reported. It was a nonfiction book. I'm a journalist by training.
Yeah.
And so I was interested in the intersection of technology and parenting, because my husband's sort of in the tech world. And so there are all these gadgets and there are all these things that say they can sort of optimize your child or optimize your interactions with your child, or you can be doing this better or faster. They'll be sleeping better if you do this, or they'll be doing this. And I mean, even before technology, this was rampant, you know, breastfeeding or not breastfeeding, or co-sleeping or not co-sleeping. And that would be the indicator that would then set your child off to a successful life or not, all of which is obviously ludicrous. you know, and love and connection is the thing that you need to lean into more than stressing out over, you know, how many ounces your kid has drunk in how many hours or whatever it is. So I think that, you know, this kindergarten admissions thing was just sort of a silly way into the same idea as my first book. And the same thing that I think a lot of parents wrestle with, which is like, is every decision as important as I think it is? Obviously it isn't, but I can't reset. Like, now what do I do?
I have to tell you, so I grew up in a, I was very told that education was important and they needed to get out, where I was. And I saw education as a way to go and I needed to get to good school and all these different things. And I tell you, 20 years later, I'm unlearning all the anxiety and all the behavior that, you know, we're inculcated, like, you know, like extracurricular, do this, do that, go have straight A's, go do the, like all the levels that was never enough, never enough, never enough. And now, like, you know, I'm in my 40s and I'm in therapy and I'm like, well, I don't have any place to chase. I have to just be okay where I am. And it's like, wait, I'm sorry, but I thought this was all planned out. Because as a child, you're told this is how you have to you be successful and be happy.
Yeah. And I think parents of our generation are kind of consume that message a very particular way, both the way that we were brought up and everybody got a part in school play, and also you had to go into the play and do everything and be good at everything, and also this sort of, you know, the downside of social media, which is that you just see people doing things and it's inevitable that you compare. And so, you know, a lot of mothers on Instagram are just, you know, seemingly have these perfect lives where their kids eat 4-course meals that they prepare for them, you know, in their spare time. And it's like, I can, you know, we recycle the same 3 meals every week.
Yes.
You know, and I consider that a coup. So in any case, So this book, Plays Well With Others, you know, explores that through a humorous lens. And so I hope that people who read it, you know, laugh first and foremost and feel a little bit less alone and know that, you know, we're all kind of faking it and treading water furiously.
And let's start with your writing process, because you have kids, you have, you know, I'm assuming you have a busy life already. And so how did you get started writing this book?
You know, I carved out time where I could. What I realized was, you know, and the more I read about other people and their writing habits, the more I feel like this is similar to lots of other people. And I kind of came to it just by trial and error. But I had 2 to 3 hours in the morning that I could carve out for myself. And I would leave the house and go to a library and sit in the stacks on like a metal folding chair with a little school desk in the back with no Wi-Fi. And it was like cold and dark. And I would give myself 2 to 3 hours to write. And when I sort of figured out that this book was going to be fiction and not serious in certain ways, it was going to be humorous, it came very, very easily, which, you know, knock on wood, I'll have that experience again, but I've never had that kind of creative experience before. I think part of the reason it came so easily is because I'm not a novelist and I never thought of myself as a novelist. So I was like, I don't know if anyone's ever going to read this. Let me just try. Let me give myself a couple months. I'm like, let me see where I am. I think I gave myself 3 months. And I was like, let me see in 3 months. Can I have like the beginning of an idea? Can I have something? And I had a lot at the end of those 3 months. And I was like, wait, I think there maybe is an idea here. And so that's like, there was sort of a freedom because I'm not used to, I haven't written fiction since college. Like I had a couple college seminars where I wrote fiction and that's it. So it felt very much like just something I was doing to play with. And then I realized how enjoyable it was. And then to my agents was like, I don't know if this is a novel. I don't know what this is. And they were like, no, it's a novel. Great. Okay. And so like, then they ran, but there was no pressure and nobody was expecting it from me. And I think that's part of the reason that I had all this freedom to just play around and like, so I'm going to throw in a newspaper article here. I'm going to throw in a WhatsApp chain. And like, I've written real newspaper articles. Let me see if I can like satirize it and make it silly. And it came pretty easy. So that, like, practically, I would carve out a couple hours every morning before the rest of the demands of my life came. And then more kind of emotionally, it was just I gave myself the freedom to try, would have never thought I could. But, you know, I did. And it was really fun.
I love this. I love the fact that you give yourself the freedom. And like, I think the idea of like, nobody's going to see it at this point. And so it allows you to take chances, take risks. it's gives you the space to be creative and somewhat fill that hole that you may have missed around and have this experience. So just allowing yourself to express yourself or, investigate those ideas, go down those rabbit holes, try to find that voice that you didn't know it existed.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
All right. So let's check some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yes. I mean, I think the prompt was sort of like 3 to 5 books that you like love or are reading or have read recently. And like, it's so many books that I could have chose. So I kind of narrowed it down in like a few different ways. Like the most kind of poignant book that I read in the last year was this book called The Best Minds by Jonathan Rosen. It came out last year. It got an enormous amount of press. I often read fiction before bed. Like I rarely go for a nonfiction book, but I started a book club with some friends and friends of friends in September. And it's been like this wonderful part of my life. And we meet once a month and like everybody shows up and everybody's very different and from very different walks of life. And they have lots of different tastes. And so somebody picked The Best Minds. And so I read it and like faithfully from the first page, I was hooked. It's a memoir, but it's about a man's relationship with his childhood friend and like how they grow up together. And he had mental health problems. And so in the course of talking about it, and then there was like a kind of sensational court case that happened that involved his friend. And he writes about the history of so many different things and mental illness in the country and incarceration and the history of like growing up in the 60s and 70s and what that was like and being a Jewish boy. And it is so well done. And it's so gripping. And it's like, it's just an enjoyable read, but you come out learning all of this stuff and you can't wait to read the next chapter. So I tore through it and my husband is now reading it and we'll just like, pass it on to all of our friends.
I love this. I love this. You're passing on the recommendation. You're passing it to our listeners. So there's some more people spreading the wealth.
People should read it. Then another book that I had read before and then I listened to because another person picked it for my book club and I was like, oh, I've already read it. So let me see if I can listen to it. And I rarely listen to audio books. I find it hard. Often I want to go back and see something or I get distracted. But there's a book called Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson, which is, I mean, it's not an unknown book. I think it's like crazy bestseller. But I was listening to it. It's very, 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 very funny. It also gets at this idea of being a parent in a sort of crazy symbolic way. And I won't ruin it for people, but it's just so good. And it's short and fast. And I emailed him. He has a website and he has like his email. And I emailed him and I just said, I had been going through something very difficult with a beloved family member in the ICU. And I was like listening to this funny book while that was happening. And I wrote to him and I was like, I just want you to know, like, I already read it and I loved it, but I was listening to it and it took me out of this kind of dark place. And it's so funny and it's so well done. And thank you. And I like never expected to hear back. And he wrote back and he was like, this is such a lovely note to get. And congratulations on your novel. He's like a really good person. Like, I don't know how many authors would respond to a completely cold email, but that made me feel like the world was a good place. Or at the very least, Kevin Wilson is a good guy. So that was one other book. And then, kind of pertaining to my book, the book Where'd You Go, Bernadette by Maria Semple was an enormous source of inspiration for me for this book, for Plays Well with Others, like both in the format where there's a lot of different types of, there's a lot of emails, there's like different documents and things that she includes. But the tone of it is so funny. Like you laugh out loud. She's so skilled. It's so hard to do that. Like it's so hard to be that funny on the page where people like snort in recognition and snort in laughter. And so she, Maria Semple and that book, it's funny in the stacks. I just picked this part of the stacks because it was quiet and no one was ever there, but it happened to be the fiction section and it happened to be near the S's. And so like Semple was right there. And so I like would have moments where I'd be like, what am I doing? Like, nobody's going to read this. I don't know if this is a novel. I don't know. Like, shouldn't I just go back to like doing my nonfiction book proposal that I was working on dutifully? And then I would see her book. And if I like had writer's block, I would pick it up and read it a little bit. And there's something about her, the prose and how like quick it is and how silly it is that would like kickstart me and I could write again. And so like, I feel like incredibly indebted to her for having written that book. And she also, I read a bunch about her and she wrote it very quickly. Similarly, like her first draft was a matter of months. And same with me, my first draft took me like 3 months just to get some. I mean, it's changed since then considerably, but it was like, okay, I have 80,000 words of something and now I can like judge it together. And I, you know, I commanded her to help me and agents and everything. But I feel like an enormous amount of respect for her. And so, and then lastly, if we have room for one more, I'm currently reading a book, which I haven't finished yet, called A Thread of Violence, which is, I think his name is Mark O'Connell. And it's a true story about a Irish guy who is like sort of fancy and important and wealthy, I believe, and killed two people. And it was like these murders that captivated Ireland. And I had never heard about him. But so far, and this is also for my book club, I'm like 3 chapters in. And so far, it's very gripping and very interesting. And again, like I rarely read, you know, nonfiction or like true crime stuff. That's not really So those are my recommendations. Most of them from like a while ago. But I hope that helps.
Those are great recommendations. Those are great. I have to say, Kevin Wilson's audiobook was just such a delight. Like, it's just like this like breath of like, you know, funny and just like, and it's touching and you're just trying to figure out how the kids regulate their emotions and you're like, oh my gosh, how do I regulate my emotions? It's just you can actually apply it to your own life. And I thought that was like such a great audiobook to listen.
Totally.
So, Sophie, tell us where you can find you online.
My website is just my name, so sophiebrickman.com. The book is being published by William Morrow, which is part of HarperCollins. So you can buy it through there and it'll sort of like take you to various places and independent bookstores and stuff where you can buy it. We are like organizing. I know this will run closer to the date of publication, but we're still a few months ahead of it. So we're organizing some get-togethers and I will put those on my website. Some in New York, there's one in LA, and I would love to meet any readers that want to meet me. And if you want to laugh, please get my book. And if you have kids, for sure. And if you have a mom, do it. And thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
And I have to tell you, as a non-kid, child-free by choice, I still find your book delightful because it just revisited my own anxiety trauma. So it works well for not, you don't need to have a kid. You can have child free and be like, oh, we're gonna deal with your own trauma here.
Or just be like, thank God I didn't have kids because like I come back.
That's awesome. Thank you, Sophie, for being in the show.
Totally. All right. Bye. Have a good day.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Watch Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the Watch Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading! Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit watchreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.